on. This is not going well today, Harry. Hang on, people. Couldn't hear in my headphones. And this is not coming up here. There we go. We good.
It's Tuesday.
Welcome to Disarray. I'm Misarray. You're Disarray.
you can Disarray?
Harry Tynowitz is in for Bill Leff. I am so happy the stream is back. Most importantly, because I missed the lovely and talented Judy Pylak. And now we get to hang out with her again because she's coming in at 12:30.
It's not a party without Judy Pylak.
No, it isn't. We should have a party because all the soccer kids and their coach have been rescued in Thailand. Isn't this like a great world feel-good story?
This is awesome. After 2 weeks, they all got out, and the way they explained it, you know, with the two divers going in there and helping them out, it was like unbelievable, and thank God everybody is out.
All right. There was a Navy SEAL that died trying to save them, which is so tragic. Again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Bill brought up something that I really could only find on one news source. So I don't know how true it is, but all the parents of the kids got together and said, until they're all out, we're not going to see our kids. I would never agree to that.
They also didn't know. There were reports,
right,
like when the first four kids were saved, they weren't sure as to which four kids they were.
See, I don't think that's fair. I think they should have been able to be notified, hey, your kid was safe, but in sticking with the agreement everybody made.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, Bill really said, no way. There is no way. As long as I knew they were safe, I could maybe wait another day. I don't know. I would like to talk to them on the phone. Is everything cool? I made this stupid agreement. I'm a woman of my word. I'm going to stick to it. I don't know if I could do it.
Well, I mean, it's what if like eight had gotten out and four hadn't, and you're sitting there going, "Oh, we're so sorry. You know, ours are okay. We'll see you later." This is a fantastic story. It's horrible that the Navy SEAL lost his life, but it's great. It's very harrowing. And all the parents are like, don't blame the soccer coach.
And they shouldn't. I'm telling you, that guy didn't think for a minute that they were going to be stranded in that cave.
Right.
It was kind of a reward after a good practice. Hey, let's go check out these caves. All 12 boys and their football coach, and that's what they call it there in Thailand.
Football.
It's soccer in our neck of the woods, correct?
Yes.
Same sport. They've been successfully rescued from a cave in northern Thailand. They were in there after more than 2 weeks trapped underground, when people weren't some divers swimming back and forth, because I know that they were lining the way,
yes,
with oxygen tanks. Was anybody bringing them food?
They talked about how they were all malnourished, and
yeah,
they were worried about them being hydrated as well.
Isn't that like terrible? Like, that's the thing I worry about. Like, I would be so hangry, I would need to eat something.
Yeah, well, they said that they all requested the same thing, like a traditional Thailand dish that was like meat and chili, something like that. But as I understood, I'm a night owl, baby. I'm very nocturnal. I was watching the news last night, and I couldn't stop watching it because they were talking about it, how there were two divers that went in to save the boys. And one of them was like with the boy, and the other one was like the in the back, like making sure that like everything was okay, nothing was, you know. One of them was like, you know, had the not riding shotgun, but like riding
well, in case, because I'm sure he was hanging on to the boy if something happened.
He would pick him up and get him. But there was like one part that was so narrow where they just had to send the kid alone.
So, oh, my God.
Right. So imagine that after 2 weeks, you know, you're finally getting saved, and they put the swim mask on.
And they
put the
oxygen
on. And they were right. They're untrained, of course. They're little kids. And then they start swimming, and then the guy just, like, pushes you along and, you know, just go. go, go, go.
I can't imagine that for the life of me. And I had heard conflicting reports, and according to some news sources, I had heard that they were sending the strongest, two of the healthiest boys. The doctor examined them, and the two healthiest boys were going to go first because they didn't know how treacherous this escape was, and they wanted to make sure it could. But I don't know. They were, where, I just read this, they found the Wild Boars soccer team got trapped on June 23rd. I just had it and my screen moved. But the last of the boys came out. I can't find it. The 12 Wild Boars and their coach have emerged. I guess that's, oh, here, the weakest boys were the last to be taken out, sources have said. They're understood to include the youngest in the group, who was 11 years old. So I guess they did make the strongest kids go first. Wouldn't you think, like, the people who were most frail needed to get out of there? But I guess...
Well, I mean...
I'm glad I'm not making decisions, because I am terrible in emergency situations. I would just be screaming. They would have to slap me. Well, what do we do now? We're going to die. I'm hungry.
You know, obviously, it was very long time. And the 2 weeks must have seemed like, you know, an eternity to the parents as well as the kids. You know, the kids, they knew, you know, that they knew what was going on. They weren't sure what was happening. The parents, I mean, in that situation, how could you not help but think the worst?
I know. You'd expect the best. You'd hope for the best, but expect the worst, I guess.
That's exactly well put.
The former Thai Navy diver, who died on Friday was in fact on a resupply mission inside the cave. So he was bringing them like power bars and stuff like that to, give them some sustenance and some water, certainly. But now the first four boys to be freed were reunited with their parents on Monday through a glass window. Public health officials would decide on Tuesday whether the second batch could see their family.
My dad still does that with us.
Is he in jail?
No. Just that whenever he wants to see us, he'll like make us, you know, he and his wife will like make us like, you know, appear, and they'll like give us the once over, and they'll go, okay, you can come in our house.
Oh, okay. Cause this was through a glass window.
Right. They live like, you know, fancy section of, you know, the Gold Coast.
Oh.
And, you know, so they're kind of like that. But, it's fantastic that they all got out. It's horrible that one guy lost his life. It's fantastic they all got out. And I can't imagine like sitting there like, you don't plan for this. You plan for what if some crazy, you know, North Korean dictator nukes us? What if aliens come down?
Well, I mean, you don't really plan for that. I do not have a survival kit if aliens come down.
But I'm sure it's been talked about. I'm sure that not by us, but there are people.
I would have the same reaction for all of the things you mentioned. I would scream. I would say I was hungry. I would say we're going to die.
Right. But don't you think that there's the military have talked about what if, you know,
they do send.
Right. So that's all I'm saying. You know, and when they put these cameras up, these cameras that are used now to, you know, they call them red light cameras now, but the cameras were originally put up in case of, you know, attacks.
They were not.
Yes, they were.
Are you listening to Alex Jones again?
No, I know the guy that put them up. There was a guy that was asked, that was recruited, and they said, if we were going to be attacked by terrorists, where would they come? And he said, they're most likely to come here, to come here, to come here. And those are like the cameras where they were worried about, you know, if Chicago were to be attacked by, you know, by terrorists, these are the places we need to have the eyes on.
And we'd give some tickets, too. Red light cameras.
Well, I mean, what happened from that is like, hey, we should just put cameras everywhere and, you know, we can use them and get red light cameras. But, I mean, the original first cameras that were set up were cameras that were set up.
Monitoring,
you know, what if, you know, what happened, you know, at 9/11, what happened if it happened here, you know, and I might have even been before 9/11, just worried about, you know, terrorism
really?
But, yeah. But I know a guy who was part of the committee where they sat there and said, okay, well, you know, they did like extensive studies, and he said, okay, well, you know, you need to have this area. It was based on, if you think about it, I mean, it was based on, like, you know, what are the main streets? You know, where would they, what L stops would we be concerned about? You know, stuff like that.
But how do you know? How do you, I mean, you can't.
If that's what you, if
I guess
if you
that
were,
was my job.
If you were at that level, right, and that was your job, you would know.
All right. Well, this from the Daily Telegraph, because that's where I get all my news. Hello. This just is like 21 minutes ago, so this is the most
recent news.
That's
fresh out of the oven.
The cave, all 13 members of the wild boar soccer team made it to safety. The 18-day ordeal, which at times teetered between grief and elation, has ended in extraordinary success. That's such a British word. Extraordinary. With Thailand celebrating and thanking the world for its prayers and assistance. We've done things we never thought we could do. I'm proud we could make complete this mission impossible. The rescue chief governor, I cannot pronounce his name, says we're all delighted. So, everyone seems to be healthy.
Thank
God. We're not sure if this is a miracle, a science, or what. All the 13 wild boars are now out of the cave. Australian Dr. Richard Harris. Isn't he an actor?
Yeah, he was a man called Horse.
An expert diver was on the ledge deep within the cave system, giving each group of boys final checks before their journeys over the last 3 days, administering a mild sedative to each of them so none would panic during the swim. That is key, my friend. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, yeah.
These are little kids. The youngest was 11, I think I said.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're stuck in a cave and you're starving for 18 days, and then you have to do this treacherous journey out. Sedative, good call.
Yeah, very good call. And it's also kind of weird that it happens, you know, what the World Cup is every 4 years, that would happen, you know, like during the World Cup.
Only you would think of that.
Well, I'm sure other people have thought of that. I mean, the World Cup is the greatest soccer tournament in the world, greatest football tournament in the world, and this football team was, you know, trapped and saved within the time of the World Cup starting and finishing. It's kind of weird.
Are you saying that this was a publicity stunt for Thailand?
No, not at all. I'm just saying
it would be a good one.
No, I'm just saying it's like it's crazy that this happened. It'd be like if a baseball team got stuck, you know, the week of the World Series. But I mean, the World Series is every year. The World Cup's every 4 years. Be like, you know, Olympians or something like that.
I thought the World Cup was every year. That's how much I know.
Yeah, well, I don't know that much more than you do about it. I know the four teams left.
I would think Croatia still in it?
Yeah, Croatia's still in it. I would think that today is Belgium against Brussels, and then tomorrow is...
The waffles against the sprouts.
Yes, and then tomorrow is Croatia against LaGrange.
No, I'm going for Croatia.
Well,
I have a girlfriend who's Croatian.
I have a good friend who's Croatian. I have a cousin who's British.
Hello.
Hello. I'm wondering if there's some way they'll honor them today or tomorrow.
They should.
Yes, they have to.
The boys wore wetsuits and full face masks, meaning they did not need to make any effort breathing as they were swum and guided, relaxed and virtually inert by pairs of divers. So that's when you mentioned the diver in the front and the back. They were sedated, not like they were sleeping, but pretty close. They were pretty relaxed.
And again, the key was there was one small section where the diver had to let go, and the kids were each forced to swim individually, you know, for just because, like, the opening was so narrow. That's what they were saying on the news last night.
These poor sweet boys.
Yeah, my God, if you can deal with that when you're 11 and 12, you can deal with anything.
Yeah, but you definitely would have post-traumatic stress.
Oh, sure.
Even though you came out okay, just thinking, you know, I'm never going to see my parents again.
That's awful.
Who's going to, you know, who's playing with my Xbox right now?
That's what they're thinking.
The governor there said the last day of the operation had moved even faster than the previous 2 days, with evacuation times sharply cut as the core diving team became better familiarized with the dangerous route. They left the strongest team members till last. See? Now, aren't you getting another conflicting report here?
Yes.
Well, I just read another report saying the weakest were the last to go.
Well, I think that are they talking about the kids themselves or the divers? Yeah, because with the kids, the strongest kids went first. Are they saying that they're like the best divers? I would think they're all great divers. You know, if you're called upon to do this mission, if there's only two divers.
It says they left the strongest team members till last, including coach.
That could not be more conflicting then. Because you literally just read one that was the exact opposite.
I'm still hearing both of these. What was days ago, a five-hour journey in blackness. A five-hour journey, pitch black, through high water chambers and risky choke point tunnel. It was cut down to only 3 hours. So they had to be doing this for 3 hours to get out.
And that's just the last people. The first two groups were 5 hours.
Man, I would rather just go, I'm good, I'm going to stay in the cave. I'll wait till the water recedes. These poor kids. The boys were rested, given initial medical attention for several hours, where the rescuers set up a staging camp, and then they were assisted out of the cave. There was some heavy rain overnight, but things went quicker, and all boys are rescued. That is the greatest news ever in the whole wide world.
That's great news. It's awesome. It worked out that way. You know, if only we had someone who, like, specialized in news that would have, like, you know, exact information on this. They could just come in and clarify a bunch of stuff.
I'm sure we can find a Judy Pilak roaming around the hallways. Are you not on? I think I have your microphone on. Oh, she can't hear.
I can't
hear. This is a problem when you switch studios in the middle of a show, but, you know, we'll figure it out.
How hard is it?
Here, I got you on. I turned you on.
There you are.
Yes.
You were five, not six.
The rescue, there were reports that the white blood count was up, so that means an infection. Families have been able to speak to the quarantine boys behind a glass partition. They're going to remain there at this hospital for up to 7 days until they're given an all clear.
It's horrible they were trapped. It's phenomenal they got out. It's too bad somebody lost their life. Wendy's been reading conflicting reports that they had the strongest kids on the team go first and that they had the strongest kids on the team go last. So we're
I keep hearing both.
Yeah, I did too. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll find out because the made for TV movie's going to happen.
Right, and there'll be a made for TV movie.
And a big screen.
Yes. Oh, sure. There'll be several of them. There were a bunch
of stories. First, the Lifetime movies. We can all see it right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Special.
Sharknado 8. they made like three movies about the soccer team whose plane crashed.
Alive.
Alive. Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
Playing the soccer team, their plane crashed in the Andes Mountains, and in order to stay alive, the survivors were forced to eat the meat.
Andes candies.
Off the dead passengers.
Andes was A-N-D-Y, though.
Oh, it's not good. like a week after they ate the dead bodies, they started in on those in-flight meals.
Oh, Harry, we're trapped, goodness. I won't eat you, don't worry. I need to, unless there was a little barbecue, a little smoky dough.
No, you need
in here.
Protein, right.
Yeah. All right, we need to take a break. Judy Pilak is here. Bill Leff is off for a couple of days. He'll be back on Friday, and he and I will work together, and then I'm off next week. It's just kind of a revolving door of people in this midday position. And on the stream, we're back in action. So we'll take a quick break, and then back with Judy Pilak's news. Hold on loosely. It's coming.
38 Special.
All right, Harry Tynowitz is in for Bill Leff. Bill will be back on Friday. And you put together some crazy, wacky stories you wanted to discuss. You emailed them out last night.
I always have crazy, wacky stories, goofy, nutty things going on. The one that's most bizarre to me is the couple on their honeymoon, an Israeli couple on their honeymoon. And they did the zip line. You're familiar with the zip line, right, Wendy?
It's something I would watch and never do.
Come on, you wouldn't do it? Especially on, like, your honeymoon?
No, on our honeymoon, we went to Hawaii. And
beautiful.
We went, I can't believe I did this either. Jim made me do this. We went up to the top of the Haleakala crater, and we rode down on bicycles wearing slickers because it's freezing. And honestly, Harry, I can't believe I did this. I know this was 20 years ago, but I'm not that daring. And you basically had to squeeze the brakes the whole way down because you're going down this mountain and there are no guardrails. So you have to really
How wide is the road that you're on?
It's like wide enough for a car, but I mean, seriously, if you hit a rock or if you like start...
I would think that they wouldn't allow people to do that. People would fall and they would,
People have died.
Right.
I don't know how I wasn't the one who died. I can't believe it. And then you get
halfway down. You must have signed a waiver.
Well, yeah, but seriously, waiver schmaver. If something happened to me on a honeymoon, Jimmy Mac would, you know, be a rich man. Da 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 da.
That's why he wanted me to do it.
But I can't believe I did that. And it was exhilarating, but you couldn't really, you stopped for a couple photo ops, and then you stopped when you got down to the bottom of the crater. There was this really nice little ma and pa shop that you had breakfast, and believe me, you've worked up an appetite because you had to be up at like 4 a.m. and it's pitch black and freezing, and it took you a couple hours to get down the Haleakala crater. But I can't believe I did that. But ziplining, I would not do that.
Well, it's, you know, I know that they put it up sometimes where there are big events. Like, I know that they did it at the Olympics. I know they did it at the Stanley Cup in Vancouver. And I could see, like, you know, doing it. Obviously, like, I would think, like, people that are drinking are more apt to do it than people that aren't.
Oh, they're not going to let you do it if you've been drinking.
Oh, you can fake it.
There is no way, because if you let go, I mean, I guess you're strapped
in. The one time I bungee jumped, I was hammered. And they let me bungee jump.
What, from your back porch?
No, I was with Cochran. We were, Cochran's show went to Mexico. And we went on this booze cruise, and I warned everybody as a professional drinker that the booze cruise was going to suck. You know, booze cruise, traditionally, booze cruise is like, you know, the term top shelf liquor?
Yeah.
Booze cruise, usually like bottom shelf liquor, right? So you're on a boat. Boats are oftentimes very small, can't go anywhere, bad booze. And it's like, what a wasted evening this was.
Well, it didn't stop you from drinking it.
Right, I know. But then we needed, you know, so I got out and there were bungee jumping right by where the boat docked.
So you said, oh, what the heck?
Yeah, it's a wasted evening unless I do something. So I bungee jumped in that condition and I shouldn't have. I forgot to lean forward. I took a step over the top. So I was dropping the whole time with my feet on the bottom and my head up. And then at the last second, I like did the flip. I inverted myself.
Wait, you're not supposed to go...
You're supposed to dive head first.
Why would you do that?
Because that's the thrill of bungee jumping, is you're diving.
That's a thrill to me.
But then you wouldn't like bungee jumping. But that's what people do, is they go head first.
Would you do that now, sober?
Boy. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I would go back to the Golden Corral. I would try that again.
I don't know what that is.
That's one of those like buffet places that have like, you know, 74.
There's not one near me. The commercials make it look tremendous.
Don't they though?
I
love buffets. The buffets are so great.
Because you get to pick and choose what you want. I just want a little of this and a little of that.
When I was doing stand up and like, you know, I was in a town with the Ponderosa, all bets are off.
Well, that was one of the first places to have a salad bar, correct?
I think so, yeah. And I know Wendy's was like the first fast food place to have a salad bar. But Ponderosa, I'd get 5 separate starches on my plate at one time. That was a big achievement for me.
Yeah, and they had the wood platters with the silver platters, the metal platters on top of it. And you'd get the little picks that would say rare, medium rare.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're taking me back. Yeah, the super sirloin. That's what I used to get.
Yeah, and the potatoes, they like, you know, nothing. Baked potato, I mean, you don't have to spend more than 12 seconds making a baked potato look good. You just wrap that sucker in foil and you heat it up and boom, you're good to go. But, thing that I did was I bungee jumped because the booze cruise was so bad. So I wanted a fun night. So I would zip line. I've never zip lined. I would zip line. I wasn't drinking at all when I did the, parasailing. You ever done that?
No, I don't. Do
parasailing is awesome.
Jim did that on our honeymoon.
Yeah, it's great. So there's this couple. So this is a horrible story.
You know, you send a lot of horrible stories my way when you're filling in for Bill.
Do you?
There's always tragedy involved.
No, they're not always tragedy. There's fun stories. We had the story, we didn't get to it last time, about like the world's biggest birthday cake and National Sunglasses Day. I had a whole game prepared on National Sunglasses Day.
When was that? And I'm sorry I missed it.
The last time that I was here, right, Jasmine? We had a whole National Sunglasses game ready to go.
Why didn't you do something?
Well, we want to play now? We have time? We can play National Sunglasses game right now. We could do the sunglasses game. All you need are... we could get you, like, against anybody in the hallway or a couple listeners. This story is really
tragic.
It's tragic. It's kind of
on the heels of the boys coming out of the cave. This is exactly the opposite. Lived.
Right. Well, this is nuts because a couple on their honeymoon, 27-year-old and 27-year-old man, 24-year-old woman.
So young to get married.
Well, right. And I'm biting my lip here because there's, you know, several comments I could make, but, they were on a cruise. The cruise makes stops in different towns, and there was a zip line, and they went one after the other, and the woman's cable got stuck, and the man coming at full speed on the zip line
smashed into her.
He was killed instantly by his new bride on their honeymoon.
She died, too.
No, she's not dead.
Not dead yet.
No, she's battling. For her life.
That's terrible. Because if
it's terrible. Another way to look at it is it probably saved them 20 years of grief and aggravation.
That's why you did this story, to set yourself up
for that bad joke. Yes, I plead guilty.
That is so tragic. I'm sorry. I can't hear sad news anymore. I really can't.
Okay, let's just get happy. Can we get some happy music, please?
Happy music.
Yeah. Don't worry, Wendy. Be happy.
I that's a pretty decent song, I got to tell you.
Thanks, very catchy.
You did a good job.
Thank you. I can just play the sunglasses game with you.
If you want to do the sunglasses game, can we do it in 10 minutes?
We can do it in 10 minutes, sure.
All right.
But there's so many. See, as it happens, there were all these, like, you know, stories last night that weren't, like, you know, the which thing is more tragic? The honeymooning couple that smacked into each other on the zip line, or the fact that we might not have any bananas in 2.5 years?
What do you think is worse? I know you like bananas, but come on, be a nice person for once.
Have you ever had a chocolate malt with a banana inside of it?
I'm not a malt girl.
Oh, you haven't been a Homer's. Chocolate milkshake. Next time, do you ever make your own milkshakes? You and the kids?
Not anymore.
Oh, man. Next time you make a milk, next time you order a milkshake, wherever you are, chocolate milkshake asks for a banana in it. It's such a wonderful treat. You're making a face. How do you know this is face worthy? It might be like happy face.
You know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
When I eat a banana, I want to eat it in banana form. Mm-hmm. I might slice it up and put it on some cornflakes or something, but I don't like my fruit mushed. So I don't really like,
it's so good.
Milkshakes. To me, that's a waste
of
calories. Don't
like milkshakes.
No, I'd rather have a sundae.
Okay, Portillo's is one of the greatest places in the world, but they put the piece of chocolate cake, greatest cake in the world, in with their milkshake. That is a waste of calories.
I don't like it together.
Oh, I don't like it together either.
I like them both separately. A milkshake's fine, but, it isn't thirst-quenching, so I wouldn't go get a Portillo's beef with a milkshake. I would get a Diet Coke with it.
Right. I mean, milkshake's like you were driving along on a hot summer day and you see, like, the DQ, or you see, like...
I would never get a milkshake. I would always go for the peanut butter parfait.
Well, it's the difference between us.
A milkshake, my kids get it. I have one who likes a malt, one who doesn't like a malt. And there's an Andy's custard near us, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, you got to go turtle sundae or something.
That's more calories.
Yeah, but it's also tastier.
Says
you. You know, when I lose my teeth and have to eat through a straw, then I'll have a milkshake.
Are you looking forward to that? When is that?
I know.
Is that on the schedule?
I hope it's not soon.
Is that on the schedule? I think Frank Fantana's in that day that you lose your teeth and have to eat through a straw.
This is years down the road.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
You know, when you have to eat everything through a straw when you can't chew. But until then, just give me, don't put a banana in the blender. Give me a banana.
I remember when Ann Margaret, I went to New Trier, and Ann Margaret was one of these, like, you know, Hall of Fame celebrities that had graduated from New Trier, and she had fallen in Vegas in her stage act, in her, you know, her act in Vegas, and she broke her jaw. And so for like...
Did she slip on a banana peel?
No, but she had to eat everything through a straw.
Oh, God.
For
still
like...
Still hot as hell.
Still hot as hell. And Margrock.
Yeah.
But for like 7 weeks, she ate everything through a straw. So she was essentially eating milkshake everything, like milkshake spaghetti.
Oh, God.
Milkshake. Right. But that's what you get. But she lost like 30 pounds.
Well, yeah, that's a way to diet. Get your jaw wired shut. But that's no fun.
Well, let me tell you something. You ask
eating borscht with Dickie and Grandma.
You ask somebody who's been overweight for, you know, 50 years, 40 years, if they would do that for, you know, 8 weeks, a lot of people would.
Yeah, but then when you eat food again, you're going to gain it all back.
Right. You'd have to go about, you'd have to make severe life changes.
Yeah. And get your food all liquefied. That would not be fun for me.
No.
No, I'm not planning to lose my teeth anytime soon.
That's good.
Frank Fontana will be on with me on Thursday. Brian Noonan's in tomorrow, and then Bill Luff is back on Friday.
Of those three, which would be your favorite show?
I'm having fun with you today,
Oh,
Gary.
Go on. I saw Stephanie today when I was walking in. I said, oh, both Frank and Brian text me. They've been trying to reach you. Neither one of them can make it in over the next couple of days.
That's not true.
She said, thank you for letting me know, Harry. She just gave me that look.
Well, I'm very upset about the honeymooning couple, because if she lives through this, I mean, it's not going to be good.
Okay, you want to hear a weird story about a couple? So,
yeah, someone you know?
Yeah, someone I know.
You know a lot of interesting people. You're like the world's most interesting man.
I have the world's most interesting friends, and you're one of those friends. So think about that. So at my wedding, when I got married, there were four people that did not make it to the wedding. And
were you cursing them because you paid for their plate?
No, I was not. I was just like, I took it as a bad sign, because it was, one was the general manager and her husband of the radio station where I was working at ESPN, and the other was the program director and his wife. So I'm watching, have you seen that TV show? And there's several like it, so I might have the wrong title, but there's a show where they, like, take you through the way the cops tracked a murder.
Like NCIS or something like that.
Yeah, but like, it's like 48 hours or something.
Okay.
Like,
you know, yeah, yeah.
It sounded like a cable channel as opposed to a network television show. And you know, they say, you know, coming up, we'll have the details about how we caught this killer. And they, you know, it's usually like some horrible story about, you know, this guy and his brother knew about it, but nobody else knew about it. So they do this story, and I get like, my phone blows up. They're like, hey, put on TNT or whatever it is, put on TBS. And I flip over there, and they're telling a story about this woman who got sick, and they couldn't figure out what it was, what was causing her to be sick. And she was in the hospital, and she was, like, unable to keep her food down. And her husband stood by her, and her husband was there. And they show the picture of the happy couple, and it's this guy who was my program director.
Oh, my God.
And his wife. And it turns out that they interviewed the mom, and the mom goes, well, we knew it was her husband. I mean, it had to be.
Oh, he was poisoning her?
He was poisoning her.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible.
I'm glad they didn't make it to your wedding.
Right, me too. I mean, not only was there more chicken capon to take home, but the guy turned out to be a rat. And
I would say so.
He had a picture on his desk of the two of them, and that's the picture they kept using throughout this 60-minute program.
How weird is that?
Right. So he had been on air before he transferred over to the, you know, the production, you know, to the
management side.
Management side. Thank you. It's been so long for me. So he wanted to get back on the air, and he was back on the air in Missouri under a different name, and she was getting sick, and she used to work out like a fiend, and he was putting antifreeze. This is horrible.
Oh my God.
It's not like he lost his cool for a split second and like pushed her and she fell and died.
This was planned and premeditated.
He was putting antifreeze into her water bottle, just enough that it would...
Over time,
it would kill her.
My God.
And this is how stupid the guy was. He forgot to clear history on his computer. So the cops went to his computer and it said, ways to kill people, something like that. And that was in there. But they knew that couldn't have been what would catch them in court, what would get them in court, but they knew they were on the right track with that.
Can I tell you right now,
yeah.
If somebody searches the history on my iPhone, my iPad, my computer at home or at work, there would be interesting conversations going around.
What is the most,
I can't think of anything
embarrassing
off the,
thing.
I gotta be honest with you, and no one wants to hear this during the lunch hour, but, the puppy has had some, bowel issues, so I've been searching a lot of that.
But that's not bad. I mean, that's...
Oh, I'm not saying any incriminating things, but some weird things, like, things will pop into my head. Here, let me check on my iPhone. I can't get there that quickly. I need a 13-year-old kid to help me out.
If he had a computer when he was a teenager, like Lef would have looked up ways to date Judy Jetson.
Right.
But like the stuff about checking your puppy, you're just being a great dog owner.
Yeah, but there's just there's some weird things. Not that I'd necessarily be embarrassed, but there's just
if you get things
that pop into your head that you just have to know the answer to.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of mine would be.
Okay, like for example, what's popped into your head? Ways you could torture your husband.
No, this is just me shopping. My dog has a black tongue. Kona's tongue is black on the back, and I looked, why does my dog have a black tongue? That was the last thing.
Did it give you the lyrics to Black Dog?
No, but it said that it's just like a freckle that you'd have. He's not part chow or anything, that they do have black tongues. So that's what I would look up, you know?
Okay, everybody look up your history, and of the last 10 things you looked up, what's the weirdest thing?
That's probably the weirdest thing. You don't know how to get to your history, do you?
I know how to get. I'm getting there right now. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, let's see.
Best mascara for sparse lashes. That's what I looked up.
I've got that too on mine. Kate Middleton. Why did I look at it? It must have been because of the wedding.
Estimating how much it would cost for a 280 square foot patio.
Starbucks plastic straws.
They're going to be outlawed pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. That's another depressing story that I didn't bring today. Putin, all these journalists that were writing stories, these Russian journalists that were writing stories about Putin stealing money and putting it into the hands of like his people.
Mm-hmm.
They're in jail or they're getting killed on the streets of Russia.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. And I look at mugshots in the news from the Chicago Tribune because that's what I look at sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
I have a little too much downtime, I think.
Yes, is yours a screensaver?
No. No, we're not. Okay. Harry, you know, it's been fun hanging out with you on the stream, but we have to kind of wrap things up.
I know. It's been fun till this last few minutes.
No, it's fine. I just, you know, we could go another hour, but I'm not going to.
I understand why. Thank you, Wendy, so much for having me. And always a pleasure. Jazzy, you work so hard. You work so hard.
Harry Tynowitz. Oh, sorry. I didn't want to step over your thank you.
At the Carm, Mark Herman and I will be on Saturday with White Sox Baseball, White Sox Weekly, every Saturday on WGN Radio.
You were on, was it early or late this Saturday?
Because I was late.
I listen to you guys every Saturday.
Go on.
I don't really go out on Saturdays anymore, but I'm usually taking a shower or doing something where I'm in the bathroom and I listen to you guys.
We're best when you're in the bathroom.
Yes. But not like that kind of bathroom, like taking a shower, putting my makeup on, something like that.
There you go.
You guys do a great job, and I enjoy it. So we'll look for that. When's it on?
Saturdays. It depends on when the Sox play.
Well, I listen to the Sox games, too.
Well, you should. They're coming around.
I like to hear DJ sing Blue Bayou, which was pretty exciting.
Right. Rick Hahn is the general manager, is working on a deal now to acquire 12 Taiwanese kids that he says have a lot of promise in the future. Well, they all lived. It's okay. They all lived.
They play soccer, not baseball.
But that's the humor. The White Sox are so young.
Oh, they are young.
Right.
Johan Moncada. Holy moly moly.
He's something.
He is something, and he's pretty fine to look at.
Wait till you see that. Yeah, that's what they traded for him. Wait till you see Louis Robert. Oh, man. Luis Robert, he is a stud, Wendy.
How old?
Oh, he's like 21.
Doesn't that 20? Just make you feel so bad about yourself? You hear these people's ages, these baseball players...
They got a guy, Basabe, who's like 19 or 18.
And the Blackhawks, too, the young Blackhawks.
Yeah, they drafted
What have I done with my life?
Focus, he's 18.
All right, well, Harry Tynowitz, Mark Harmon, they're good on Saturdays. They're good on a Sunday, too. Get it?
Oh, you're a cherry on my Sunday.
Yeah. All right, we have to take a break, and then, as they say, as Bill would say right now, we're going to close up shop. All right. It's been fun. It's been glorious. And Harry Tynowitz has been sitting in for Bill Leff, and I really appreciate it.
It was a blast. It was a blast. Much better than what I would have been doing normally during this time.
Which would have been what?
Going back and forth between Burger King and Mickey D's and doing my own taste comparisons.
What do you like better?
It depends on which one I'm going through at the time.
Yeah, because they both are good in their own ways. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Harry Tynowitz, you can catch him on Saturday with Mark Carmen. About what time? Just after the White Sox game.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a 1:10 start, you'll usually catch us like 4:30 to 7. If it's a 6:05 start, we'll be on 3:30 to 5:40.
It's a short show.
Not enough.
Yeah, you need more. Brian Noonan is in tomorrow for Bill. Frank Fontana will be in for Bill on Thursday. And then Bill will be in for Bill on Friday. And it'll be nice to have him back. And then I'm off next week. Thank you for listening. Harry, I got you 5 minutes of overtime. Will that work?
Yay!
thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow on WGN Radio at 10 o'clock. And then join us again at noon for the stream. And have a lovely Tuesday here.